Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Nun Hey, and we will begin on Daf Nun Dalad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, V'hadotnan. Our Gemara continues, as it did at the end of the previous shiur, to discuss different ervas that are asur midoraisa, and to define the scope of when those ervas are mutter or asur. So the erva that the Gemara now will discuss is the erva of achais ishtai, which we know a wife, sister, is asur. And the discussion that we now begin in our Gemara is to understand, when the Torah says achais ishtai is asur, is it your wife's paternal sister, or is it your wife's maternal sister, or is it both? And the Gemara attempts to prove that it makes no difference if it's your wife's maternal or paternal sister from a Mishnah that we're going to learn later in the Masechta. The Mishnah discusses the following situation. There were two people, Yaakov and Leah, who got married and had a daughter, Dinah. Then Leah and Yaakov's marriage terminated. Either Yaakov died or divorced Leah. And Leah married Chetzron and had a daughter, and Leah and Chetzron have a daughter, Yocheved. So Dinah and Yocheved are maternal sisters. Chetzron has another wife, Keturah, and Keturah and Chetzron have a daughter, Sarah. So Sarah and Yocheved are paternal sisters. Keturah and Chetzron's marriage end, and Keturah marries Besuel, and they have a daughter, Rivka. So Rivka and Sarah are maternal sisters. And Besuel has another wife, Chana, who has a daughter, Milka, who is a paternal sister to Rivka. So we have these five women, Milka, Rivka, Sarah, and Yocheved, and Dinah. Some of them are maternal sisters to each other. Some of them are paternal sisters to each other. And some of them are not related at all. And Reuven marries Milka. And that's where our Mishnah begins. V'adatnan, Armalai Mesa Ishtacha. Reuven is informed that his wife Milka passed away. And based on that, Nosa Chaysa Me'aviha. He married Rivka, who's her paternal sister. For as we've been learning, paternal sister, one may marry his wife's sister after his wife passes away. V'Nosa Chaysa Me'aviha. Mesa, then he's told that Rivka passed away. V'nosa chos mima, so he marries Sarah, Rivka's maternal sister. Mesa, then he's told that Sarah passes away. V'nosa chos mi'aviha, so he marries Yocheved, her paternal sister. Mesa, and then he's told that Yocheved died. V'nosa chos mima, he marries Dinah, who's her maternal sister. And then it turns out that all of these reports were erroneous. So the halacha is muta b'shoina b'shlishis b'chamishis. His original wife Milka, the third woman he married, which is Sarah, and the fifth wife that he married, which is Dinah, he can remain married to, because given that Milka and Sarah and Dinah, and Milka and Dinah, etc., are not related to each other, not maternally or paternally, so that those marriages are considered effective marriages. Opaitres Tsarasehem, if Reuven will die without any children, where his widows are obligated to have Yibum Mechalitza, the marriage to Milka, Sarah, or Dinah is considered a full-fledged marriage, that as we know, if Yibum Mechalitza is performed with any legitimate wife, it exempts all other wives. Otherwise, if Yibum will be done to Rivka Yocheved, given that those marriages were not considered marriages, so they would not obviously exempt this family for the requirement of Yibum Mechalitza. Tosfos makes 2 points. One point Tosfos says that the exact same concept that this Mishnah is teaching us, we could have learned without having such a confusing case, with five women. We could have had it with three women. Why did the Mishnah choose to make it so confusing? So Taisha says, the point is that even though it's such a confusing situation, and we should think that maybe Chazal, under such a confusing situation, would make a gzeirah that none of the marriages should be considered a marriage. Still, the Mishnah says that there's no reason to make a gzeirah. And for the same concept, says Taisus, that's why the Mishnah had to say Poitris Tarasim. Of course we know what Allah is, that if one does Yibam Mechalitza with a legitimate wife, all the other wives are exempt. So Taisus says, the reason the Mishnah tells us the din of Poitris Tarasim is also, one would think that wouldn't it make more sense that the Tzoros should be the candidates for Yibam Mechalitza, since their marriage is a fully legitimate marriage without any complication. So instead of doing Yibam Mechalitza to one of these wives who are all confused, who is the legitimate wife, who's not the legitimate wife, why don't we just do Yibam Mechalitza with a person that there's no question? Teaches us again, the Mishnah, there's no requirement, there's no Gzeiras Chazal for that to be the case. Now the Mishnah discusses another situation. Vasa B'Shnei B'Revius, the marriage to the second woman and the fourth woman is not considered an effective marriage because they were sisters of the wife of his legitimate wives, and therefore Kedushin is not effective, and therefore Vain B'Aksman, Yibam with any of these wives would not mean anything and would not pater, would not exempt the Tzaris. However, says the Mishnah, if when he married the second wife, if Baal Shniya, if when he married the second wife, La'acha Mises Rishonah, the first wife was truly not here anymore, so then that marriage was an effective marriage, Muta B'Shnei B'Revius, so now everything changes. That marriage is an effective marriage, and then when it turns out that he was told incorrectly that that wife died, and he married her maternal sister, that marriage is not a legitimate marriage. And then when he was told that, and then again he married the maternal sister, and then the paternal sister, and then a maternal sister. So here we have a situation where the second and fourth sisters' marriages will be effective, and the other marriages will not be. Membral Shneel Acham Mises Arishoina, Mutab Shnei Brevius, the second, the fourth women, their marriage is considered effective. And if he dies without children, Poitris Tarasayim, Vasa B'Shlishis B'Chamishas, the other wives' marriages, given that he married those women when their sisters were alive, will not be considered an effective marriage. But what we see from here, obviously points out the Gemara, that the Mishnah is teaching us that whether the sister one married was a maternal sister or a paternal sister, the Kedushin is not effective. Alma, Achois Ishtoi, when the Torah tells us that Achois Ishtoi is an Erva, it's Bein Mina Av, Bein Mina Eim Asuris. It makes no difference if it's from the father or the mother. Says the Karol, asked the Aruch Haner, what's the proof from this Mishnah that it's not a Kedushin? Even Midoi Raisa, maybe the Mishnah only means that it's not a Kedushin mid Rabbanan. So he says a beautiful Teretz. He says, if their Kedushin were midaraisa, a qualified Kedushin, and the Isser is only midrabanan, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if one has a wife who he was not supposed to marry midrabanan, but he was married to her, and then he passes away, and his brother does Yibam Mechalitza with that wife, since midaraisa, she is a wife, because the old Isser is only midrabanan, then she would exempt the Tzoros from Yibam Mechalitza. If our Mishnah says, the Mishnah we just quoted, that if Yibam Mechalitza are done with these women, it will not exempt the Tzoros, it's a proof that it's not even a Kedushin Midaraisa. So we see that a Kedushin to a maternal or a paternal sister is totally ineffective. Ask the Gemara, Minolan, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, Yalef Machoisai. We learn it from the din that one is not allowed to live with a sister. Ma'achoisai. And when there's an isser and a sister, it's beim and av, beim and aim. It makes no difference if it's a maternal or paternal sister. Afkan, when we speak about one's wife's sister, beim and av, beim and aim, whether it's a maternal sister of your wife or paternal sister of your wife. Ask the Gemara, and similar to what we learned yesterday, V'yalef medadasoi. Yesterday, at the end of the shiur, we proved that one's father's brother's wife is usur, it's his aunt. But there, we proved there is a difference if she's your father's maternal brother's wife or your father's paternal brother's wife. Only a father's paternal brother's wife is usur, not a maternal brother's wife. So ask the Gemara, when we have here the Erev of Achais Ishtai, where the Torah is not clear. Who does the Torah mean when we say an Achais Ishtai is Usur? Doesn't mean your wife's maternal sister or paternal sister. And the Gemara is suggesting we should learn it from Achaisai. Ask the Gemara why we learn it from Achaisai. Maybe learn it from the Dosai. And say, Madai Dosai, it's Mina'av. Only your father's paternal brother's wife is Usur. V'loi Mina'aim. Afkan, why don't we say that only Me'av, Achais Ishtoi, Me'av is Osir, V'loi Me'aim, answers the Gemara, Mestabra, given that we have two options, where to learn Achais Ishtoi from, Mestabra, Me'achais Avala Me'elv. It makes more sense to say they will learn it from Achaisai. Why? Because Achais Ishtoi and Achaisai have a commonality. What's the common denominator? Shekrein kroyve atzmai v'kroyve atzmai. Achaisa is your sister. Achais Ishtai is also on your generation, your wife's sister. Doidosoi is a generation up. It's your father's relative. So doesn't it make sense to learn one thing from your generation, from another thing in your generation, rather learning from a generation up? Ask the Gemara, Adirabba. You could argue, it makes more sense to learn from an aunt. Why? An aunt comes to you through marriage. Doidosa is your father's brother's wife. It's a relative that came, it's not a blood relative, it's a relative that came through marriage. Achois Ishtoi is also a relative that came through marriage. You married your wife. On the other hand, Achoisoi is a blood relative. So now the Gemara is not clear. What is a better match? Adrabba, midadosa havelel meimav, shekain davai de kedushin, midava shei de kedushin. So again, what is the better match that should serve as a source to teach us what achais ishtoi is osur and which is not? Says the Gemara el me'eshes achyal pinin. We learn it from the halacha of your brother's wife. That has all the commonalities to achais ishtoi. Shekain davai de kedushin. How does one become your brother's wife? It's not a blood relative, it's through marriage. And the krayve atzma, it's your generation, it's your brother. So now what the Gemara is saying is, how do we know achois ishtoi is beimena a, beimena aim? Because we learn from eshes ach, which is also beimena av and beimena aim. Ask the Gemara, the eshes ach gufa menola, and for where do we know that an eshes ach, your brother's wife, it makes no difference if he's your paternal brother or your maternal brother, that it's Osir, the Tanya, because the Pasuk says, Ervis Aishas Achicha Lois Segala, and we say that it means, Beim and A, Beim and Aim. It makes no difference if she's your maternal brother's wife or your paternal brother's wife. Ask the Gemara, At the Oimre Beim and A, Beim and Aim, is that indeed the case? That it makes no difference what kind of brother he is to you. His wife is always Osir to you? Or perhaps, maybe only a paternal brother's wife is also not a maternal brother's wife. V'dinhu, and answers the Bryce again with the same approach. Chayiv kan, a brother's wife is also, v'chayiv b'chosoi, you're not allowed to live with your sister. Ma'achosoi, just like by your sister, b'mena'av, b'mena'im, both your paternal and your maternal sister are also. Afkan, here too, Beimen Av, Beimen Aim, your paternal or maternal sister-in-law are Osir, says the Gemara. That's not a conclusive proof, because a Kalach L'derech Seh, one could argue differently. Chayiv Kan, V'chayiv B'dadosai. Same example. You're not allowed to have relations with your father's brother's wife. And as we've been saying, Madoi Dosoi, Mina Av, V'loi Mina Aim. When we say that one can't have relations with his father's brother's wife, it's only a brother, a paternal brother's wife, say the same, Afkan, that when Achois, Aishas Ochiv is Osir, your brother's wife, it's Osir, it's only min Av, loy min Aim. So the Gemara says, let's try to analyze which is a better match. Nira l'mi daima, what is a better match? Donin krovei atzmai, B'kroi ve'atzmai. We should learn your relatives, your generation, which is Achoisoi, and compare that to Eishes Achiv, which is on your generation. V'atachiech te'dosoi, whereas your aunt is not your generation. Shekroi ve'av, it's a generation up, it's your father's relative. However, says the Gemara, one could argue the other way. A kalach l'derech seh. Don and dover shayidei kedushim, midover shayidei kedushim. Eishes Achiv is not a blood relative. She's also to you because of marriage. Your brother married her. An aunt is usher because your uncle married her. Which is a blood relative. So again, we're proving that Achois Ishto is Beim and Av, Beim and Aim, because we learn it from Eishes Achiv. And how do we know that Eishes Achiv is Beim and Av, Beim and Aim? Tamaloima says the Gemara, the way we know it is because Ervis Achicha He, an extra pasuk to teach us Beim and Av, Beim and Aim. It makes no difference how she's your sister-in-law, whether she's your paternal brother's wife or maternal brother's wife. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, perhaps this pasuk is coming to teach me something else. Edi ve'edi be'eshes ach min av. The only wife that's usher is your paternal brother's wife. Why do we need two psukim to teach us the same din? Chodah de'yesh le'bonah b'chayi b'ala. Want to teach us that if her husband, that means your brother, divorced her, and they had children, you can't marry her after your brother divorces her. V'chada, the ein lebonim, b'chayi b'ala. One is when your brother divorced her, and didn't even if he didn't have children, as long as he's alive. And one is to teach us a case where he taka died, but he left children, so there's no mitzvah that she's usher. Says the Gemara, ein lebonim b'chayi b'ala. The case where your brother divorced her, and your brother is still alive, even if he doesn't have children, your sister-in-law remains prohibited to you, that we don't need this pasuk to teach us. Because that midrash huna nafka. As we learned yesterday, the pasuk about Eishes Achiv uses the words nida. So the Gemara on daf nun dalan mebeis asked, why did the pasuk have to call her a nida? She's not necessarily a nida. So the point the Gemara said was to teach us this exact case, that if your brother divorced her, even if they had no children, if he's alive, you can't live with her. So we already have that situation covered by a pasuk. Says the Gemara, I still need it for another case. Ve'ema, idi ve'idi be'eshes ach min av nafka. Both are talking about a paternal brother's wife. Chada, the yesh lebonim, b'chayi b'ala. To tell us that while your brother's alive and he had children, you can't live with her. V'chadu d'yesh lebonim l'achas misas pala, that even if her husband died, but if they had children, she remains usher to you. That's all I need to psukim. So I don't have a superfluous pasuk to teach me that a maternal brother's wife is also usher. Says the Gemara, yesh lebonim l'achas misas pala, a case where she has children, after her husband died, she's still usher to you, lo tzricha kra. For that, I don't need a pasuk. Why? Mid amar rachmana. Since we find that the Torah tells us, she'ein lo bonim muteres, that if he didn't leave children, that's when there's a mitzvah siyibum, so we could easily extrapolate, hayesh lebonim, that if he did leave children, asura. So what are you suggesting, says the Gemara, that I need a pasuk to teach me the case where he had children, even though he died. She's usher. I don't need a pasuk for that. I could easily extrapolate it from the mitzvah yibum. So Dima, that is not a conclusive proof. Because Dima, ain't loy bonim, if he didn't have any children, asur l'alma. She's a yavama. And as we learned, and we'll discuss it soon again, a yavama l'shuk is not allowed to get married to anyone else. She's only shari l'yavam. Only the yavam may marry her. Until he does chalitza at least. Yesh labonim, but if he had children, it doesn't mean that the pasuk is telling us that he can't, that the brother can't marry her. What the pasuk may be suggesting, shari la alma, the shari la yavam. She has a choice. She could marry anyone. We don't have a conclusive proof that she's not allowed to marry him. It's only not necessarily a mitzvah. Inami, or I could say, ein lo banim, if, another way of saying really the same thing, if the brother died with no children, then there's a mitzvah for the brother to marry his sister-in-law. Yesh lo banim, but if he had children, rishus, he may. But that doesn't mean it's aser. We don't have a raya from the pasuk that it's aser. Inami, or says the Gemara, ein lo banim, in. If he didn't leave any children, he's allowed to marry his sister-in-law. Yesh labanim, if he left children, loy, he taka may not marry her. But since we don't have an explicit pasuk telling us that he may not marry her, so it's only going to be a situation of a lav haba mechlal asay, it's not something that the Torah specifically prohibits, it's only something that I say, since under these circumstances marry her, under other circumstances don't marry her, so it doesn't have the full-fledged power of a lav, which only has the din of an assay. That's why Kosef Kra, that's why the pasuk would have to say that it's Osir. So I don't have an extra pasuk to teach us that Eishes Ochiv is Osir, Beimen Av, Beimen Aim. Says the Gemara, Kosef Kra Krina. There's another pasuk. The pasuk says, Ervis Ochiv Gila, to teach us that under all circumstances, Eishes Ochiv is Osir, Beimen Av, Beimen Aim. Ask the Gemara, if now we're comparing Eishes Ach Mina Ein to Eishes Ach Mina Av, a paternal sister-in-law and a maternal sister-in-law, perhaps we should say, V'Ein Eishes Ach Mina Ein to Eishes Ach Mina Av, if we're comparing them, they should have the same din. Ma Eishes Ach Mina Av, a paternal sister-in-law, L'Ach Mises Bala, if a husband dies without children, Sharia, there's a mitzvah sibum. Af eishes ach mina aim lachem mitzvah bala sharia. So maybe the Torah is teaching us that by maternal sister-in-law, there's also a din of yibum. Answers the Gemara, amakra hi, bavayasa tehei. A maternal sister-in-law, that means your maternal brother's wife, remains osir forever. Asks Rashi, Tosfos the same, that why do we need a pasuk to teach us that a maternal, why do we need this pasuk to teach us that a maternal sister-in-law is not subject to the Mrs. Yibam? We learned the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin that says, how do we know who's considered a brother for Yibam? We learned it from the brothers, the children, the sons of Yaakov, that they were all paternal brothers. So we see already that Yibam is only by a paternal brother, not by a maternal brother. So Rashi says, if I only had that limud that we learned in Daf Yud Zayin from the children of Yaakov, we would say that by a paternal brother, there's a mitzvah to do Yibam. By a maternal brother, there's no mitzvah, but there's nothing wrong. How do we know that not only is there no mitzvah, but the Isser of Eishes Ach remains? That's what this pasuk teaches us. Another way, Tosfos answers this question, also very nicely. Tosfos says that if I didn't have the brother, the pasuk by the Ache Yaakov, the brothers of the children of Yaakov, I would say that the Chi of Yibam is only when one is a full-fledged brother from the mother and the father. How do we know that there's a Chi of Yibam if they're only paternal brothers? That's why I need the Pasuk by Bnei Yaakov to teach us that even though they're just paternal brothers, there's already a Chi of Yibam. Yesterday, also in the Shir, we learned on the top of Nun Dalar Mabeis a very important limud from Rabbi Yoinu, which has very important implications for all of the halachos of Erva. Rav Yoina taught us there's a hekesh. The pasuk says, Ki kol ha-shiyasa, vi kol ha-ta'evis ha-eila, v'nichrus ha-nefashas ha-ayisais, huk shekol ha-rayis kulan. This pasuk comes to equate that all arayis have the same din. Ask the Gemara, if so, that all arayis have the same din, and the same, and the dinim don't have to be mentioned by every Erva separately. Ask the Gemara, if so, Kares, Achoisai, the Kasa by Kares Lomeli, why did Torah have to say there's a Chiv Kares by Achoisai? Obviously there's a Chiv Kares. It's like all the other Ervas, and they're all compared to each other. Answers the Gemara, Lechir Rabbi Yochanan, to teach us the dinner of Rabbi Yochanan. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Asa Kulam Bahalam Achas, Chayev Akal Achas V'Achas. Let's say one lived, had relations with all different Ervas, different women, a mother, a sister, all the different examples. And it was all one lapse. Is he chayif for every one separately in Einish? one. And that's what the Torah singled out and said kares by this erva, to teach us that if, even if it was behelam achas, you chayiv on everyone separately. And the Rishonim go on to say that since the Torah says there's a chayiv kares by a nida, again the question is, why did the Torah single her out? To teach us that let's say one lived with five different nidais, behelam achas, so it's all one same avera. The avera of nida, he still chayiv five anshim. Ask the Gemara, Ul Rabbi Yitzchak. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, that says the reason the Torah wrote kores by chaysoi is to teach us. Damakol chayv krisis bechlal hayu. All women are chayv kores by these ervis. V'lama yotso bekores bechaysoi. What did the Torah have to say? There's a chayv kores by chaysoi. L'doyne bekores v'loy b'malkus. The machlok is showing how to understand this. One is to tell us that let's say one gave malkus to someone who did this avera b'mezid. He shouldn't get Malkus, he's supposed to get Karis. Is he potter from an Einish because he got Malkus? Or another way of learning it is, let's say when one was going to do this Aveira, and the Edom gave him Hasra, they made a mistake, and instead of saying that if you're going to do this Aveira, you'll be Chayiv Karis, they by mistake told him you'll be Chayiv Malkus. How do we know that he's not subject to Malkus? So we learn it from the fact that the Torah singled out and said again, by a choyser that's a chiv karis, to teach us that only karis is the oynish, not malchus. So according to Rabbi Yitzchok, that's what we learn from the karis, that the Torah uses by a choyser, the Torah actually mentioned by a choyser, which at first glance it seems to be superfluous. L'chalik menolon, how will we know that din Rabbi Yochanan just taught us that if one lived with different ervis, behelam achas, his chayiv achal achas v'achas, Nafgalei mele'eisha benidus temosoi l'chayev akol isha v'isha that yechayev for each woman separately. Ask the Gemara. And this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi learns that part of the Einish Kores is that the person in Rechmal Tzlan dies young, and the other part is that his children die. So now the Gemara's question is, if that's what Kores is all about, and we know that all ervis are subject to the oynish of kares, so why by the erva of doidosoi, an erva we've been speaking about a lot, does the Torah single out and say, arirum yiyu, he'll die without children? That's part of what kares is. What did the Torah have to say it for? Tosfos takes a different approach, because Tosfos says that it's not automatic that all chiyuvei kares die arirum, without children. So Tosfos says, this is the way the Rishonim explain, that the Gemara's question is that even if by chiyuvei kares there's not automatically aririm, by ervis there's automatically aririm. Why? It makes a lot of sense. Because ervis are producing children. When one lives with an ervis, he's producing children that you're not supposed to have. So aririm, that those children, the oynish, that the punishment that he loses children, is a punishment that very much fits the crime. So if that's the case, why did Terry have to repeat aririm by the erva of the dosai? Arir, the dosai, the kosuba rachmana aririm you lomali. Why did the Torah have to say it? It's included in the fact that they're subject to kares. Answers the Gemara, it's needed to teach us what Rava taught us. The Rava Rami. Rava asked the following question. On one hand, it says ksiv aririm you, they will be. The ksiv aririm yimusu, that they will die. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Haketza. Yesh lebonim, if he has children, and he does the Savera, Kaivram, they die. Ein Leibonim, if he doesn't have any children, Hailech Hariri, he will not be Zoichet to have children. And explains the Gemara. Vitzrich Lemichtiv, Aririm Yiyu, Vitzrich Lemichtiv, Aririm Yimusu. Because the question that the Gemara is asking is, the point is all the same, that if somebody, Rechmon Litzlon, does such an Avera, he'll die without any children. So why does it have to say Aririm Yiyu and Aririm Yimusu to say both? The point is that he won't have any children. Answers the Gemara. Dikas Rachmani Aririm Yiyu. If the Torah only used the words Aririm Yiyu, have min atchate, that the children that he had before he did the Aveira, those children will be punished. Ava Mechate Ve'elech, children that were born after he did the Aveira, are not subject to that punishment. Kasar Rachmani Aririm Yimusu. Any children that he had, even if they were born after the Aveira. Because Rachman Arim Yimusu, if the Torah only would have written the words Arim Yimusu, have a minimum chate ve'elech, only the children were born after he did the Avera. Ava Mikaroloi, the children that he had before they did the Aveira, so not be subject to the Einish. That's why Tzricha, we need both Pesukim to teach us that both the children that are here from before the Aveira and the children that are here after the Aveira, Rachman and Slan, will be subject to Karis. But the Rishonim do point out that when we speak about, again, we don't really understand how this works, these are Minashamayim, but what they do point out is that when the Gemara says here that included in the Einish of Karis is Aririm, that his children die, it only means young children. Children who are already Gedoilim are not part of the Einish of Aririm. Our Mishnah mentioned, and we discussed this in the previous year also, that if one just does Harah, the beginning of Bia, and we'll discuss exactly in tomorrow's year what Harah means, it's considered that he did a Bia. And we learned by Chiyuv Karis, we learned by Yivam, we learned yesterday, since the Torah used the word Harah by Nida, it teaches that by all Chiyuv Karis, once Harah is done, it's considered as if a Bia was done. But ask the Gemara, Harah the Chai V'Lavin in Olam. How do we know that by Chai V'Lavin, also if one just did Harah, he's considered like he did a Bia? Says the Gemara, just a word of introduction. There is a situation in the Torah called a Shifcha Charufa. A Shifcha Charufa is a Shifcha Kananis, this is the way Rashi explains our Gemara, is a Shifcha Kananis who is designated, we remember the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, who is designated to an Eved Ivri. That Eved Ivri, it's like his wife. If one has relations with a Shifcha Charufa, he's Chayiv Malkus, and he has to bring a carbon asham, an asham shifcha charufa. Since the Torah, when it speaks about the shifcha charufa, says the Gemara, mid the gola rachmana, shifcha zeragab is shifcha charufa, that by this chayiv lav, the Torah says, there has to be shifcha zera, a full-fledged bia, mechlal, the chayiv lavin baharo. It comes to teach us that all other chayiv lavin, not the lav of shifcha charufa, as soon as there's haro, there's already considered Bia. Ask the Gemara, one could argue the other way. Adirabba, mid the Gola Rachman HaRoa b'chai v'krisis, if the Torah teaches us by chai v'krisis that HaRoa is considered a Bia, Michal, the chai v'lavim b'klal, lavim b'gmar Bia. Only by Chiv Karis is HaRoa considered a Bia, not by chai v'lavim. Omer Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, if that is indeed the case, that only by chai v'krisis is HaRoa considered a Bia, not by Chai V'Lavin, Im Kein Lishta Krom Shifcha Charufa. So there's no need for the Torah to tell us the din by Shifcha Charufa. And I would understand that all Chai V'Lavin, you need to have a full-fledged Bia. Why did the Torah have to single out Shifcha Charufa? To teach us this Chai V'Lavin requires Gemar Bia, not all others. Ask Tosfos, so fine. So now we could argue the other way. Let the Torah just say that Harah is enough by Chai V'Lavin, and we'll say if by Chai V'Lavin Harah is enough, certainly by Chai V'Krisis, which is a bigger Aveira, answers Tosfos, the fact that it's a bigger Aveira is just the opposite. Maybe on a smaller Aveira, where there isn't such a serious punishment, so by Harah, you Chayiv. But by Chai V'Krisis, which we just finished explaining, such a serious punishment, maybe the Torah doesn't give the punishment until he did the Aveira with the Gemar Bia. That's why the Torah has to mention it both by Chai V'Krisis and by Chai V'Lavin. There's also interesting Mechlokes Rishonim by Shifcha Charufa. We clearly see from the Pasuk that a Shifcha Charufa requires a full-fledged Bia. And all Rishonim agree in explaining this Gemara, that means the Karban Asham one has to bring, if he lived with a Shifcha Charufa, he only has to bring if he did Gemar Bia. But as I said before, there's also a Chiv Malkus, if one lived with a Shifcha Charufa. And what will be then by Chiv Malkus? Would the Chiv Malkus also only come into play if he had Gemar Bia? But if he only had a Raw, there will not be a Chiv Malkus? Or will there be a Chiv Malkus even when HaRaw took place? Chlekes Rishonim. Ask the Gemara, Harah the Chai V'Lavin the Kuhuna Menolah. How do we know there's certain Chai V'Lavin that only apply to Kahanim? A Kohen is not married Grusha, a Kohen is not married Mona. How do we know by them also the Chiv, it's considered a Bia just when Harah took place? Says the Gemara, Ask Yekicha Kicha. We learn Xeri Shava. It says by Chai V'Krisis, Isha Shikach Asachoy Soy, and by by Chai V'Lav and it says Lo Yikachu, so we learn Gzeir Shava that a Ra is a Bia. Ask the Rishonim, once we've proven the Chai V'Lav and the Kahuna, Harah is a Bia, why do I need a separate pasuk for all other Chai V'Lavin? So I saw two answers. One answer is because Ein Ayin Shem Adin. We can never learn, we can never give a punishment just based on a Svara. Another Teretz is, since Kahanim are a higher level, so maybe one would say, just by them, there's a din that Harah is considered a Bia. How do we know that that's the din, even by regular Chai V'Lavin? That's why we need to have separate Pesukim. The Chayv Essay Menolan, how do we know that if one lives with a woman that he's not supposed to, does an Isra Essay, a Mitzri, a Doimi, that they, as soon as Hara is done, it's considered a Bia? Ask your Bia Bia. We learn in Xeri Shava, it says Bia here, and it says by Chayv Lavan Layova Mamzer, and it says by Chayv Essay Dor Shlishi Yavoi, so we learn in Xeri Shava Bia Bia. Yavama Lashuk Menolan, how do we know that if Yavama got married to someone before she had Yibam Mechalitza, that as soon as Bia is done, that's considered that she did the Avera? So the Gemara, this is the Girsa of the Gemara, Rashi doesn't agree with this Girsa. Taisa doesn't agree with this Girsa. Ila Mandama Lav, if according to Mandama that Yivamo Shuk is a Chiyiv Lav, so she's like all other Chiyiv Lav that we just proved, her Raw is considered a Bia. The Mandama Essay, according to Mandama that's a Chiyiv Essay, she's like all other Chiyiv Essay that we just finished proving, her Raw is considered a Bia. Taisvis takes exception with this, because Taisvis says there is no Shaila that a Yavama Lashuk is a Chiv Lav, and what the Gemara should say is, it's a Lav, and she's like all other Chiv Lavin. Says the Gemara, Yavam L'Yavam Enola, how do we know that a Yavam, who's going to do Bia in his Yavama, as soon as he does Bia, it's considered that she's his wife? Says the Gemara, ask your Bia Bia. We learn Exeter Shava Bia Bia. Ask the Gemara more, Isha L'Bala Menola, how do we know, as the first Mishnah Masechta Gedushin teaches us, that one of the ways a husband is Mekadish, his wife, is through Bia? How do we know that the Bia that he did was just a Harah, the beginning of a Bia, she becomes his wife? Asi Kicha Kicha, we learn Gzeres Shava Kicha Kicha. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lamali the Kos Rachmanah Shifa Zer B'Shifcha Charufa. There are three places in the Torah, says the Gemara, that one needs, that one has to do shichva zera, which as we explained on Amun Aleph, means a full-fledged bia. The Torah says it by shichva charufa, as we just spoke about on Amun Aleph. It says shichva zera be'eshes ish, that until someone does a full-fledged bia with an eshes ish, and it says shichva zera besoita. Another question is, what is the point in all three places that the Torah said shichva zera? The shichva charufa, so the Gemara says, the reason the Torah says Shifcha Zera but Shifcha Charufa is like we explained on Amaran, to teach us that certainly the Osham, and maybe even the Malkus, one is not Chayiv until he did a full-fledged Bia. Deishas Ish, and here the question is particularly strong, as the Rishonim point out, because an Eishas Ish is like all other Arayas. It's a Chayiv Karis, that the Halacha is, that as soon as there's Harah, it's considered a Bia. So why did the Torah say Shichva Zer Be'Neshes Ish, Prat L'Meshamesh Meis. It comes to teach us that if one did the Meisa when his Aver, when his wasn't erect, it's not considered did in a Meisa. It's not considered did a Meisa Erva. Ask the Gemara, Ha'nich L'Manda Om M'Meshamesh Meis Barayis, according to Manda Om that says that indeed if one did this act that way, he's Potter. So I can understand that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. And the Mechas Chinuch points out, nobody should make an error. Certainly, if someone is Meshamish, has relations with an Erva, even with Eva Mace, even if we're going to follow this position of the Gemara and say that there's no Chiv Misa, it's certainly an Issa Lav. But just the Gemara saying there is no Chiv Misa. However, ask the Gemara, Elamanda Mechayiv, that even if he did the Aveira with an Eva Mace, he's chayiv. We're back to where we started. My ikal meimer. Why does the Torah use the words shichva zera by eishes ish? Says the Gemara, al prat meshamish mesa. That the Torah is teaching us that if a woman was an eishes ish, and she died, and someone had relations with that body, that she's not considered, that it's not considered that he did an avera. The Salka Datach, I mean, one could suggest that she still considered his wife. She still considered someone's wife, even after she passes away. And therefore, somebody has relations with that body. He should be chayiv for having relations with an Eishes Ish. Kamash Malon, that you're not chayiv. And there's a machloikas rishonim. What's pshat in this Gemara? Some rishonim say that indeed she is still considered his wife. She is still considered his wife. But the Torah says that even though she's still considered his wife, the Isser Eishes Ish only applies to live people, not to people who are dead. Another pshat that rishonim suggest is what the Torah is teaching us is that a woman is only considered someone's wife as long as she's alive. But once she passes away, she's not considered his wife anymore. And I saw that the Paiskim say that this machlokes rishonim that we just said is relevant to a number of shailos in halacha. There's an interesting halacha. I'm not suggesting that anybody should ever do this. But let's say someone passes away and he owed people money. So the halacha, by the letter of the law, the Shulchan Aruch, is that the people who are owed money could prevent burial until the Yarshim pay up. They say, we're not going to let him be buried until our debts are satisfied. However, says the Shach, that that's only creditors that are not related to the person who died. But if it's a person who's a relative cannot and should not prevent the burial of a relative just because money is owed to him. So now the question is, if the wife is owed money from the husband, every wife is owed money from the husband, there's a chiv ksuba. Could she prevent the burial? If the pshat is that she's not considered a relative anymore, she can. If, on the other hand, she's still considered a relative, so she has the din like all other relatives, that she's not supposed to prevent the burial. The question is, if she's not considered a relative, why does she sit shiva for her husband? So Mefarshim explained, she's not sitting shiva for now. She's sitting shiva for the relations that was there before he died. Another nafgamina, which Rachman Slan comes up, is that there are women that get married to a second husband. Their first husband dies, and they get married to a second husband. The question is she allowed to be buried next to her first husband? If she's considered still the wife of the second husband, it's inappropriate that she should get buried next to her first husband. But if we say that when she dies, the marriage is over, she's no longer the wife of the second husband, then she may be married, may be buried next to the first husband. And I saw the Shem Tzion Balacha discuss with the Shaila, and he says that the minig is that she could be buried next to the first husband, next to the second husband. Either way is acceptable. Says the Gemara, the Saita Lamali, why does the Torah need to tell us the word Shechva Zara by Saita? L'chatanya. Shechva Zara, Prat L'Dover Acher. Comes to exclude something else. Ask the Gemara, my Dover Acher, what is meant when it says Dover Acher? Omer of Sheishis, Prat L'Shekina L'Shaloi Kedarka. That if we know what a Saita means, when a husband suspects his wife that she's having an inappropriate relationship, and he has to have Kina, he has to tell her, warn her, and then steer her. So when he warned her that I suspect you of having relations in a natural way with someone else, and that's not considered kini. Amalei Rava Mishkvei Ishiksev. Why is that not considered a proper kinui? The Torah says that any relation that a woman who's married has with another man, whether it's kedarkai or shloi kedarkai, is asur. So why is this not considered a proper kinui? El Amalei Rava Prat Shlokinoloi Derech Avarim. That he suspects her, not that she had actually a sexual relationship with the man, but they were close to each other physically. Amalei Abaya Pritzosa As Rachmana. Is that considered a proper kinui? And as the Machlokes HaRishonim, how to explain this line of Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara this way. When a person warns his wife, I don't want you to seclude yourself with that man that I suspect you of, he doesn't have to say why. He just says, I have reason to believe that you're doing something improper, and I don't want you to have any relation, any yichud with her. If he says that, it doesn't make a difference what the basis of his suspicion is. But if he's spelling out that his suspicion is because it was only derech evarim, that will not be considered a proper kinui, because that's not a reason for kinui. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns that when one is mekane his wife, when one warns his wife, he has to spell out the concern. And if the concern is only derech ivarim, ask the Gemara, that's not a legitimate concern of znus that should make her into a saita. Ela amabaya, pratsa kinab in the shika. That he warned her that they only had the hara, the beginning of a relationship. That they didn't even have a raw. The neshika means that he just touched there, and it's not even a hara. Ask the Gemara, so teaching us, achnasa satara is considered a biya. This is not. Ela mandam zu neshika, that this is considered a raw, mayik lamema. Says the Gemara, alam shikin ala darach avarim. That the Pasuk is coming to teach us that he warned her that I know that you, I'm suspecting you that you came close to that man. We said that that's not a reason to make kinui. He says that's exactly the Gemara was teaching us. We should think that what is the basis for kinui? It's not what the Torah prescribes is asur or mutter. It's what the husband bothers him. And if it bothers him that his wife is becoming physically close with another man, even if it's not a complete act, it should be considered kinui, because hokok kapid, this is what's bothering him, and it should be considered a kinui. Kamash Malon, it's not considered a kinui, because a kinui is only a kinui if it's based, according to the Rambam and the Maisa's Nus, or it's based where nothing is spelled out. But if it's spelled out because I think you're having coming close contact with another man, that will not be considered a kinui. And this has relevance to la locha, because the Paiskim discuss that it's very important that nowadays one should not tell his wife, I don't want you to be miyachid with a man, because I'm concerned that you're being over the issa yichud. Because the halacha is, nowadays we don't have mei saita. So if she's going to be miyachid with a man, and then she turns into a saita, there's no way of freeing her. And the halacha is a saita is os labal, she can't live with her husband. But if we say that what he spells out, the reason, and the reason isn't enough of a reason to make a saita, then she doesn't become a saita. So he tells her, I don't want to be miyachid with a man because I'm concerned that I know you're being miyachid with men, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that wouldn't make her a saita. And even if the husband said that to her, and even if Chas V'Shalom afterwards, she was miyachid with a man, would be no issue anyway.